thanks, Priscilla. I just noticed this little point here. It says grace has brought me safe thus far, and I thought like asking you, well, have you made it thus far? Huh? It'll take you the rest of the way through. I've had a lot of cars that got me so far, and they didn't get me any further. But I've had a lot of promises that went so far and didn't get any further. But I'll tell you that God will take us all the way. Having begun a good work in you, he will perform it or perfect it till the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep and will keep that which I have sent unto him against that day. And we find that every word of God is full of power. I wish we really recognized that. Our own words are not full of power. In best intention, we first give a promise and we'll never fulfill it. We may be honest and think we're going to do something and mean so well, and then we never get it done. I'm terrible that way. It is not said about God. God is a great God, and great to be loved. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That says everything. That doesn't mean now I'm going to stop somebody from praising God. And it says in the assembly you're to praise the Lord. Everybody should praise the Lord. Praise him while you're singing your testimonies. Everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Of course, you can't expect the rocks and rivers. Of course, the rivers do praise the Lord with that lovely little melody the streams give forth. The rocks don't. Neither do the dead. Right. I'm glad you thought of that. I didn't say a word. I just said neither do the dead. Because if I'd have said, that'd be different. But it doesn't even need to be said. We know. However, the living praise the Lord and have much to praise God for. Now, we're going to continue tonight in our studies of taking illustrations from the first five books of the Bible on prayer. And they're a little different, perhaps, than what you've heard, but that's good. That's why I'm here, to teach something a little bit different. Not differing with the Word of God, but differing with tradition. Because we want to know just what the Word says. And it's so nice to find out what the Word does say. And it always thrills me after maybe having read the thing so many times and heard it so many times that suddenly what was really said comes out. That's most peculiar, because it's there all the time, and people just don't read it, like much of what Brother Branham brought out in preaching. It was there all the time, and you'd say, well, isn't that funny how nobody could see it? Well, that's me in due season. Wasn't meant to be brought out before. Now, remember last night we took the topic on God answers according to need, the very first prayer in the Bible uttered that we actually have a record of, where man prays as he prays today to the great God who is invisible, but nonetheless real. And he came to God based on the revelation, which was, I am your shield and I am your reward. In other words, I am your protector and provider. That took the care of Abraham out of his own hands and put it in the hands of God. Now, to be really assured of that is a wonderful thing. Because if you're really sure that God is both your provider and protector, then he can't let you down. Now, the Scripture says that a man who doesn't care for his own house is worse than infidel. Now, you know then if God doesn't care for you, then he's got to be worse than infidel. See? He'd be worse than the devil. He admits it right in his own word. So God's got to take care of us because he's supposed to have a great father relationship to the Lord God. Now, he wants to protect us. That's what's wrong with us as Christians. We have never learned to let God fight our battles. The late Dr. Tozer was one of the very few men of this century who let God fight his battles. And I forget what his five great premises were as the controlling factors in his life, but one was that he would never, ever defend himself, no matter anybody did. That's why the man was known and respected as one of the truly great Christians of all time. And why? Because he realized that God could do a much better job. Now, God's enabled me to know a lot of the theory of it, but I haven't allowed God to give me the meat of it too much today. I realize that if that you and I might be somebody's enemy, but we can't really do much. But if God became a man's enemy, how terrible. So, to commit to God has a great purpose. First of all, it takes you out of the class of judging and violating the precepts of God. And secondly, a much better job is done. So everything is more satisfactory all the way around. Now, this doesn't make us vindictive. It makes us understanding and fruitful and in a proper position before the Lord. Committing all to God is a tremendous factor in force So Abraham, when he said, now, Lord, if you are really my protector and my provider, so happens I've got a need. Now, God said, what is your need? And he said, I need a son. So God said, well, if you need a son, I think I'll give you 6 Cadillac cars and 4 estates and a yacht. Well, why do people talk like that? Every place you go, you find people say, well, God, you know, you think you know what you need and this and that, but God really knows. So therefore, God, you don't even bother to ask God. You know, they kind of make God an idiot, like you're an idiot and God's an idiot too. Now, Abraham had a need. He said, I need a son. God said, okay, a son, you'll have. So therefore, God answers according to our need, you see. And there's where faith is built, that I can have the answer to my need, and because I can have it, I will have it. See? Now, if you know you can have it, then that's 90% of the battle, because the other 10% deals only with conditions, and the conditions deal only with perhaps waiting, which will bring out patience, or you doing something that you neglected to do that God said you must do. Now, as I said last night, and I repeat again, I don't believe there's one single solitary person with an ounce of any type of mental energy or integrity. But if he knew that by meeting one certain or two certain conditions, that he would actually, honestly, 100% get that thing, you couldn't stop him from meeting those conditions. But that's not the problem. He doesn't know that he can get it, because he doesn't know that God answers according to our needs. And I showed you that right in the life of Miriam. God answered the prayer for her leprosy when she brought it on herself. See? Jesus took compassion on the people because they were like sheep gone astray. They had a need. So we learn that, and God can't change. What he does once, he'll always do. The answer is based upon a need. God answers according to need. See, I've got a need. I can and will have it. Search the scripture to see if there's conditions. Meet the conditions, and then let out a scream of victory and walk down the road. There you go. Because once you have obeyed, that's the. There's no Supreme Court of Appeal outside the Word of God. It's all over. See? So we learned that last night. Now tonight we're going to Genesis 17 to continue our study. We'll learn a lot of things here which are very valuable to us. But before we start, let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we bow our hearts and our minds in your presence tonight, knowing, Lord, that we need, first of all, to be very humble to hear your word. And secondly, we need an open mind, opened and renewed by the Holy Ghost to get the truth of it. Now, Lord, this is a little bit of scripture, and yet every word of it is powerful because there is need in here, oh God, for us tonight. Now, help each one of us, Lord, in the lip and in the ear to be in perfect harmony with you. Now we yield ourselves to your spirit, knowing that we shall surely hear and be edified, and something's got to come out of it, Lord. Even though we may wait a little while, wait for it. It's going to come, just what we teach. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Beginning then at verse 1, reading for quite a few verses. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect, or be sincere. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee from the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. This shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every child, man child, in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, especially the foreskin, is not circumcised. That soul shall be cut off among the people. He hath broken my covenant. God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. Now bless her and give thee a son also of her. me, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall the child be born unto him that's 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, this I might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall then bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I have established my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful. And I'll multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now you'll notice in here, 17 and 18, which is the prayer. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, and he's praying in his heart, now shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old, and shall Sarah this 90 years old bear. And Abraham said to God, now he talks right to God, or that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, there are very few prayers of man or men that set forth in the book of Genesis thus far, and we're into the 17th chapter. On the other hand, there are several revelations of God to man. We thus discover that God wants to talk to man more than twice as much as he wants man to talk to him. From the chapters 15 to chapter 17 in Genesis, there are at least 3 revelations of God to man, telling man what God is going to do for him. While there is only 1 recorded prayer of a man saying what he wants God to do for him. Now that doesn't mean that people weren't praying. But we have a book that records what we need to know and in what exact percentage. Now this leads us to conclude the fact of the revelation being more fruitful and more in number and abundant than the actual prayers of men. It leads us to conclude that God is a good God and is working out things to our own good. In other words, his eyes are upon us in love and in good. He's telling us what he wants to do for us and how he wants to bless us. It's not so much man going to God and saying, God, will you do something for me? But it is man, God who has gone to man and said, look, I want to do something for you. Now, this also gives us keen insight into faith. So that faith is not the ability to cause God to move in our behalf. But it is actually more the ability for man to let God move on his behalf. See, that's actually the truth. You can see it here. Otherwise, if it were man meeting with God in order to get things, you'd find the book would be full of man saying to God, Lord, give me this, Lord, do that, Lord, take care of this, and Lord, think of the other thing. But it's not that at all. The Bible, which is the accurate word of God, shows forth here, just in naturally looking at the word, that the revelation is more abundant than the prayer request. So here again we see, you might put it this way, have men been coming to God for help? The answer is evidently no. So therefore, God is going to man to remind man that God is his source of help. And of course, this also explains the fact of why we have many experiences in life which we don't seem to like. Because if we had everything the way we want it, so that we would never have to come to God, see, for anything, well, God's got to put us in a place that we need God in order to attract our attention. See? So no matter how you look at it, you can see the scripture shows here that man of himself has a wrong idea of faith. It's not compelling God to do something. It's not the ability to get God to do something. But it's what it is putting yourself in position so that God will do and fulfill these great revelations he has for us. Now, since this is so, we can formulate the truth that man ought to listen to God more than he talks to God. Now, this is something which characterizes the so-called Pentecostal move. The people who listen least to God are those who talk to God the most. Our talking to God is necessary. We need to. But actually, if we were to examine the truth of the Word of God, we find that it is better to hear God than to talk to God. And that's found over here in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, where it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let the words be few. And verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. It is better that thou shouldst not vow than thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry angereth thy voice and destroy the words of thy hand. For in a multitude of dreams and many words there are diverse sanities, but fear thou God, and so on. Now, he gives us a very strict judgment here that man ought to say less and to hear more. In fact, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to talk. And all know that the Scripture is redundant. It's just full of those very same thoughts. And you can see it right here. Here's one recorded prayer through Revelation. See? And yet, today people are praying apart even from the revelation of God. Just pray, pray, pray. Talk, talk, talk. See? The old verse that says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. They've got an idea. Well, I'm going to go in and I'm going to fight with God. See, and I'm going to storm heaven. You've heard that expression. Storm heaven. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And then they talk about Jacob. They say, now Jacob wrestled with God. And he forced God. And bless God, we're going to wrestle in prayer. Hallelujah. And we're going to make this thing work. And then they got, then the last thing we found out was, they were going to pray and fast. We're going to make God answer. See? We're going to, now, isn't it strange you got to make God answer? And he said, hey, Abraham down there. He said, what's going on? What's going on? Who did he hear from? I'm God. God. I wasn't even talking to you. I know I'm talking to you. Get up and leave your home and all. He did it. Now he says, Abraham. See? The revelation was, I'm your provider. Now another revelation comes. See? I'm trying to show you that this business of man storming heaven is 100% contrary to the Word of God. So I say one of the last things that after praying fast, I'm going to say, well, God, all time, all time, said, if you've got to answer my prayer. Bottom did that too. See? And they said, all right, we're going to go in the closet and close the door. Come on, with gifts. And they did. They sure did it. But they went contrary to the Word of God, because the Bible said God is sovereign and he gives gifts to whom he will, and you don't go into the closed closet and shut the door and storm heaven for it. See? Showing you that our prayers, though they are necessary, and it's right to pray, the fact remains that the revelation of God is superior to prayer, and it is better to say less and to hear more. See? In fact, if we look at Scripture, all through the written pages of the history of the Church of God, and you're going to find that the revelation from God is so acceptable that the people of God, who really were great servants of God, didn't pray too much about anything. They just accepted what God said, acted on it. And then the pinch was on, they just reminded God of his promises, and that ended it. See? Not that you have to remind God, but you just let God know you're aware that you're banging on him. See? Now, there's something else we notice here as we go along, and that is we find that when God speaks to man, as he did to Abraham, that he invariably repeats his promises in order to instill faith and to give greater emphasis. In other words, he enlarges on his promises and he gives this deeper understanding of the revelation. Now, there's something that you and I need to learn about prayer, because as the revelation increases, the faith becomes more dynamic. Because let's face it, faith is a revelation. And you can only get revelation through the Word and the Spirit, because they're one. Now notice, let's just take this thought that the promise of God in Abraham's life dealt with seed. Let's go back to the seed. The first mention of this seed is Genesis 3:15. Abraham's not even here. This is the Garden of Eden. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, let's go over to Genesis, the 12th chapter. And in the 12th chapter, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. That's the second mention. Now, you'll notice he said to the woman, you're going to have a seed. Now, he designates the seed is going to come by way of one man, because this is after the flood when it's all one lump now, showing the election of God. Now, go to the 17th chapter, which we just read, and 18 and 19, not 18 and 19, let me see here, 17, I guess it is, and I'll establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee, and in their generations for an everlasting covenant. See? Now, you'll notice here that God is speaking in terms of that seed coming on down through generations. And in verse 19, he says that the seed has got to come by Sarah. Ishmael is not seed. Then in chapter 23 of Genesis, I believe it's verse 18 I have written down here. Where is it? No, 22, I'm sorry, wrong chapter. And 18, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now you notice he is enlarging again upon this seed which is going to come. And this goes on chapter after chapter all through the Bible, coming up through David, on down through, right into the time of Mary, when she conceives by the Holy Ghost. And then the whole thing is brought out in the book of Galatians, the third chapter, and in verse 16, where it says, not now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not as to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, what I'm trying to show you here is that people, without meaning to, do not seek out Scripture for a full revelation. See? They take what they want, or they take casually one thought and leave it. Now, the thought of the seed here goes all the way through the Bible. And the more you study about the seed, the more you understand it by the Holy Ghost, the more dynamic will be your faith in your life. Now, the same thing has to do with healing. It's not sufficient to say, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. The thing is to go from the very beginning to the very end and to trace out healing as it is in the Word of God. The same thing has to do with a person who has problems in his finances. Go to the Word of God and find out exactly what the Bible says, and don't be satisfied with one verse of Scripture, but take every single thing you can get your hands upon, because it's the revelation of the Word by the Spirit that brings on this attitude of reliance in God. So we see here, when God keeps on dealing with Abraham concerning seed, what's he doing? He is constantly feeding Abraham word revelation so that he can bring forth the seed. One time would not have been enough. One thought would not have been enough. It was repetitive and it was enlarged until Abraham was imbued with the understanding that he would have seed. See? God meeting his need. See? So therefore, he was not interested in looking at his own body, nor the body of Sarah, as the Bible says, because that was not the clue or the key to getting your answer. The key was God providing. See, God doing it. So we see here, we ought to get all the truth we can about every single thing, because anything else will not work. My faith cannot stand in a part of a revelation, and especially in this last day, when God has sent a prophet to give us the complete revelation. See? There are too many people who feel, well, I got a part of Brother Branham's message, and that's good. I don't think that they'll be any hindrance. I believe they'll make it all right, because you can't understand beyond what you're given to understand. But I talk now about the casual person, more about the casual person. He sees a little bit, that's fine. Like multitudes saw Brother Branham was a prophet. And if you say anything, they'll say, well, I believe he's a great major prophet for our day. But that doesn't stop them from 1 minute believing that they've got as much right to revelation as he has, as though they could produce it and be on par with him. And that's not true at all. No one was on par with Paul, the apostle. And the man who's come in the last day was going to have a super, super vindication, and they turned it down just as flat as they turned down Jesus. And the peculiar thing in turning down the super, super revelation, which I'll maybe speak on Sunday, the super vindication, is actually turning down Jesus Christ, because those that died under Moses' law, how much more so shall they die under the last remnant of grace? Amen. See? So we need to have a real revelation. See? We need to really find out. See? It's just like this issue on, like, taking Scripture, pitting Scripture against Scripture. The devil came along, he said, it's written that thou cast thyself down, he said, thou dash thy foot against the stone, the Lord will hold thee up, the angels hold thee up. He said, it is also written. See? Now, the point is, this is written, this is written. Where do you reconcile the two? See? It says in one scripture that women keep silence in the church. The other place it says women shall prophesy. Now, don't tell me women are going to go prophesy down the road over the kitchen sink. They got to prophesy in church so to be judged. Now, let's reconcile it. Right? Certainly reconcile. You don't take pit scripture against scripture. You want to even know what the Greek says about the word silence? It means to stop talking since you already are talking. It's like, hush. Now, women keep silence. It means there's a place where they've got to shut their mouths in church, and they don't dare open their mouths. What is it? On doctrine and on teaching. Let no one ever teach a man. She can be taught. Follow me? Well, maybe you don't. Let's get the Bible. See? All these things, we must not allow ourselves to be half-baked this last day and take a chance. What if one sister had something from God, or one woman was held back? Huh? Are women nothing but legalized prostitutes for men? No! Where are the Hannahs? She was praying in church. Wasn't she? Certainly, hanging on to a pillar. We mark down one of God's creation for 1 minute, we slam God right in his face. In Christ, there's neither male nor female when it comes to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but when it comes to the ministering and the taking, and no woman ever was an elder, she never was a deaconess, she never had one thing to say about establishing doctrine or judging. Never, never can. She can't because she is not qualified to do it. She's missing something spiritually. That doesn't make her inferior. The fork is not inferior to the spoon. But I'll tell you, let a fork start and try to do the work of a spoon, you watch what happens. That's what women did. They started to do the work where God didn't want them. See? We've got to know what the Bible says. We don't pit Scripture against Scripture. See? I am the Lord that heals you. Let's see what this last day did by not getting a revelation. They took a gift of healing and went down the road to take every sickness off everybody they could take off. Now, what if God had that sickness put on for two reasons? One reason could have been a man sinned, then God will with him, right? Amen. Then, like the case of Job, no sin, but God wants to train him. Right? Scripture, we know our Bible. See? Now, what do we have this last day? We have your so-called Pentecostal theologians say that God doesn't put sickness on you. You say, well, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. But Jesus, but God himself said, Satan, you moved me against Job. God took the full responsibility. Now, supposing the person has something in his life because he has sinned, and something is put on him, therefore, because he must be whipped for it. See? In other words, he's got to be chastened. He's got to be brought under the rod. Now, here comes the man with the gift of healing. Take it off. No. A gift of healing can't go against the Scripture that says confess the sins. Now, I've got the tapes way back, I don't know when. And one of the tapes way back when, I believe the angel Lord appeared more than once to Brother Branham and say, have the people confess their sins. Now people come along and say, you don't need to confess your sins, I'll pray for you. What do they know about the Word of God? See? See what I'm trying to get across tonight? And it's right here staring us in the face. You don't even need to read what's in the Bible except that in the sense of really understanding. Just read how many revelations and how many times a man prayed. And you think because people got the right to pray, they can tell God, get off the throne, I'm coming up and taking over. That's what we act like. I'm going to storm heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to storm heaven. Oh, you know how they get that old Pentecostal spirit. That sounds more like the devil than does God. I'm going to send up on high. Bless God. I'm going to take the throne over. Show them how it's done. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to get in there and do things. Oh, yeah. Maybe God wants you to stay home for 6 months and just sit there and listen. Maybe all your big flaming evangelistic ideas are not for today. See what I'm driving at? And it shows right here, revelation piled on revelation, but God didn't see fit to record any more than just one prayer over a period of a long, long number of years. But I'll tell you one thing. He saw fit to record every revelation, and that revelation was the same revelation that went right back to the garden concerning the seed, and he added to it, 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 till all came out just perfect. You couldn't miss it. See, we need to know. My brother Brandon was such a thorough teacher, you couldn't help but appreciate him. Sounded like he was repetitious. I had him take some of his sermons the last time. He went over and over and over and over on the prophet. Over and over and over on the prophet. And over and over in a certain verse of Scripture. And I was just like the rest. I sat down. I said, well, he said so. I said, well, it can't fix it, but he said so. Just let it rest. Then one day, God showed me what he really said, and there it was in the Bible all these years, sitting there. I could have read it just like he did. When you read it, see it written down under your nose and see what it says, you'll be amazed at how right he was, although he knew he was right. But when the revelation comes, then you say, my God, we had it. And it's already gone by and didn't know it. Well, we knew we had it, but we didn't really know we had it. See? You just don't know a little bit. You've got to know. See? A little learning is a danger thing. Then we don't pit Scripture against Scripture. We've got to know what it says. What does it say? Men can fuss with men. We can fuss all we want. I've been challenged. I don't care. I had a man tell me that he understood. He said, what's there to know about the rapture? Brother Branham said it. You just tell anybody that the voice of the archangels of the dead coming out of the grave. Just tell anybody without Scripture proof. And they'll laugh you right in the face. And your faith is not built upon just a smattering of gesto. Your faith is built upon the knowledge that the Spirit of God makes clear, and he does. Why an explanation? Didn't God take time to thoroughly talk to Abraham and explain everything? He most certainly did. It's just so we've got a tremendous illustration here right in Scripture, if I went no further. See? Now let's look at this. In this little prayer we're studying in Genesis 17, we find that Abraham prays according to a promise already given. Or the prayer of Abraham to God for a son is based upon the promise already given, you shall have a son. Now, he is praying from the heart. It's a very sincere question. When God said, Abraham, be sincere, Abraham was sincere. He was sincerely praying from his heart. Now, this prayer was prayed because of what God put in the mind of Abraham. See? Now listen carefully what I said. I said, this prayer was prayed because of what God put in the mind of Abraham. Not what Abraham's mind put there. Not what Abraham thought. But what God's word put in his mind. Now this is scriptural. Turn to 2 Samuel 7 and 27. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. You see? The only reason we can pray is because there is a promise concerning it, or a word given to it. See, nothing else. See? Now, that's how James told us to pray, and John told us to pray. For the Scripture says that this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything concerning his will, we know that he hears us. See? And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petition. Now, that's based upon the will of God. What is God's will? The word of God is the will of God. There's no place else that you can possibly know the will of God. It's in the word of God. See? Now, we have to find out what his will is, in other words. Mueller found this acceptable. Mueller was a great man of God, and he used to preach. And like a lot of preachers, he just found material to preach on. One day he got kind of fed up with it, and he said, I'm going to find something to feed on. So he began reading his Bible to feed. And the minute he began reading his Bible to feed, that minute he began to pray with a new kind of a faith. And from that time on, he never lost one answer to prayer because it was based upon words. Now that's the right way to pray. Because you see, there's only one way that a prayer can be answered. And that is to pray the right way, you see? If you pray apart from God's promise or God's will, you void the word of God that says, my word have I exalted above my name. See? He doesn't exalt your word above his name. Now, every prayer that you pray is prayed in Jesus' name, right? So therefore, every word that you pray is above that name. Is that correct? Huh? Well, he won't exalt your word above his name. He'll only exalt his word above his name. So if you don't pray his word, forget it. Was that right? Certainly it's right. And yet when we were little kids, we tried every kind of pray. Oh God, make Wallingford the capital of Connecticut. Because that's what I wrote in my paper. And if Wallingford is not the capital, you don't make it the capital, I'm going to fail. And yet, did you ever pray that way? Ooh, what kind of kids am I talking to? I used to ask God to make every prophet, every capital prophet, what I put in my paper. Of course, I wasn't saved or anything. See? You don't offer to God your word. Because you've got to ask everything in Jesus' name. And the only thing that can get above that name is His own word. You give that to God. As we'll show you in Genesis 32 next when you get to preaching on it. See that? Now, that's the right way to pray. See? Because God does not exalt any man's word, see, above His name. That's why Jesus said, only what I hear, that's what I say. But He has exalted His own word above His own name. And He stands behind His word to warrant. And furthermore, and this is something we learn right with this, because this is sure an old fundamental Pentecostal, and heaven knows what kind of a trick. It's the immature trick we all try. We should never use a prayer to bypass the Word of God. But oh, how we try. We pray in Jesus' name, sweetly. We try to flatter God. See, He said, I'll cut off the flattering lips. But we don't think that means us. All it means the other fellow. Doesn't that's right. I know how people are because I'm people. All I got to do is know how my heart reacts and know how your heart reacts. Because that's all. We're all one lump. All the same old barrel of rotten apples. All one lump of clay. And we have all tried to bypass the Word of God by praise. And that's really one of the best Pentecostal tricks I ever learned. Now, I use Pentecostal tricks because I brought them in Pentecostal churches. Independent churches, but I know what they're like. I know what they're all like. It's that old trick of the pharaoh. Get down there and storm heaven. Bless God. Pray, 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 pray. Never mind if the Word says just pray, 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 pray. And they prayed on themselves, an anointing being false seed. Because everybody speaks in tongues. They believe that they said God is speaking in tongues. Everybody spoke in tongues, and you can find their lies. The majority are not in it at all. There's an anointing upon them, sure. But not according to the Word of God, see. Because they had bypassed the Word of God. Like the fellow I told you about years ago that pulled a, I don't mind it now, sure burnt me up at the time being and hurt me. When I left town, he pulled a real good trick on me. He couldn't stand me face to face, wait till I got out of town. Well, I wasn't going to stay out of town. He told me to stay out of town, so he didn't want me to come back and face him. Well, I wasn't about to stay out of town, because my wife and kids and everybody else was there, so I just came on back and faced him. And I said, why did you do this dirty trick? I said, you wouldn't do it to a businessman. And then the voice, he said, what? I said, what kind of a man are you? Well, he said, I prayed about it. Well, I said, you don't pray about sin, bud. If you do, why don't you pray God to help you rob a bank? Go ahead. Let's take a heist and take one down now. Prayer doesn't bypass the Word of God. Prayer is based on the Word of God. It's like the precept of giving. I don't want to keep talking about giving, but the point is, it's so simple to understand. You can understand things that are brought up material in the Word to get the whole picture. It says, give and it shall be given. Well, God, I'm going to pray. No. Give and then pray and say, Lord, I've done it, now bless it, because I was sincere. And God will multiply it back to you. See? We're not here to tell God. God tells us. There are not many. You check it out. There are very few prayers recorded in this Bible when you and I know that multitudes prayed millions and millions and millions of prayers. And God went on the bunch of them. Just record a few of them. But the revelation is right from Genesis to Revelation. And it keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. See? And we're expected to pray according to God's word. Now, if He said we can have it, we can have it. If He didn't say it, you better not want it. Now, see, Balaam did it. You've got the same thing today because God said the Balaams would repeat and the Korahs would repeat. You can go up and tell a woman, don't you dare go in that pulpit. She'll pray and pray and pray and hear God say, go in the pulpit. The businessmen the same way. Organized. It's the same stinking Nicolaitan spirit, that hierarchy. They've been taken over by the Assemblies of God, let's face it. Everything that's going on is taken over. Teen Town's taken over with the Wilkerson Group and all the rest of them. They openly said up there and in Myerstown where they took over, they said, now we got our hands on the good thing. Don't let it get out of our hands. Why? What's the use of showing a man's flesh? You can imbue your kids to go to Bible school until, like my friend Glenn Buehler, he finally saw the light of all this trying to win souls. Because if you really win souls, that's good. But if you just try to make a show in the flesh. So one day he said to Glenn, he said, now you leave that fellow alone because he's coming. Now, I know you dealt with him, but I'm going to lead him to Christ and he'll be mine. Now, what is all that talk? If he read his Bible, the Bible said, he that sows and he that waters nothing. It is God who giveth increase.
Amen.
See? We're not here to know just a little bit. We're here when the mysteries are wound up. Get a full revelation. What's this thing all about? See? That revelation hasn't come yet because it's still the mind age is still to come. See? Put you on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my, just trying to bypass the Word of God by prayer, that's an old dodge. Yes, sir, that's an old one. I'm going to get healed without confessing my fault. Maybe you got to confess your fault. See? Now, we know you can have it. If I proved you, we can have it because God said so. You can have it. But don't try to get it any other way than God's way. See? I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
Pray and fast. That's good. That's good. I'm not against praying and fasting. But don't try to make a do without the Word of God. See? Now, we find another truth here about God as Abraham questions him. And we notice that God is not impatient with him, but bears long with him and inspires him. See? Now, when Abraham is a little bit, looks like he's not exactly learning as fast as he should, God doesn't get angry. He sees Abraham trying. And so he's very patient, loving him, and caring for him. Now, we go into prayer itself. Now, you'll notice here back in this chapter again, we go back to this book of Genesis again. What are we in chapter 17 about? And verse 17 and 18. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that's 90 years old bear? And Abram said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. See, now Abraham is praying. Now, I want to submit to you here that Abraham is not mocking God when he laughs in his heart. I don't believe it. I'll show you by Scripture where my stand is taken. I believe that as Abraham was roughly 100 years old, and the thought of having a son was now so diminished that to hear God himself say once again, Abraham, I'm even changing your name. You are going to have a son. It was such a tremendous prospect that even yet, see, I'm going to have that son. The scripture says, who when hope was gone, hope gone in faith. When there wasn't any use believing, God said, Abraham, he's yours. And the prospect in the face of the conditions was so overwhelming that he just laughed out in joy at the tremendous prospect. See, the sheer joy that Sarah was actually going to give birth to a son. The force of such a wonderful thing made him laugh, as it were, out loud. And for a moment, his faith ran in the realm of complete joy and rise. Then suddenly doubt hit him. And he stopped laughing. And he thought, oh, this is too good to be true. And he said, oh, this one might live. Now, if you don't think that this is true, I want you to turn right to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, and I'll show you why I know that I'm right. You see, Cain could laugh in the face of God, but not seed. True seed never laughs in the face of God. In Matthew 13, 20 and 21, it says, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heard the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. See, with joy, he laughed, he was happy, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. See? In other words, there is such a thing as receiving the word with great joy and then cutting cold dead on it. And Abraham did. The prospect was so wonderful. Now, I want to show you that many people have the same reaction. I have talked to sinners. I've seen them. And as they have sat there reviewing their terrible case before God, and sincerely taken scripture after scripture, shown them what the word says concerning them, I've seen their faces light up, and just the birth enthusiasm is suddenly a cloud. And they say, yeah, but that's not for me. What did it? For one moment, they're full of joy. For a split second, they said, this is too wonderful.
the prospect of being right with God shook them for a moment loose, and then suddenly, done. Now, let's take a child of God. I've seen where people had served God and then backslid. And I use that term because that's the one we understand. You understand I'm using it as our understanding grasp that they were out of fellowship and all. Talk to them. Shown them what the strong word of God says concerning them. I've seen the same reaction light up in a minute. Well, is that right that I really am that child of God? See, they all agree. And for one moment, you can just see everything illuminate like a light up. And then they turn right away and darkness. Well, I don't know. I think I must have done something too wrong. I just can't believe that that's my portion. You can talk to a man that's sick. And you can show him the word of God, as I've done in many a case. And that person with tremendous insight seems to reach out in power and just a complete transformation. And then the next minute, there's not one vestige of that which was so real. See? Just like a bombshell. How has it been when you yourself have sat there and suddenly something hit you in a meeting? And for one split second, you knew the reality of what that man was trying to tell you by the Spirit of God. And oh my, it was so wonderful. You just could have burst and then suddenly, it was all gone. The devil just did it like that. See, there's nothing wrong with Abraham. He was sincere. He laughed out of pure joy and exhilaration that actually he was still going to have that son because God was still planning on doing it. It wasn't out of God's plan because the fella got older and older and everything got darker and darker, see? Now, so you can see the truth about prayer, as I'm trying to bring this out. So many of the promises of God, now get it, like Abraham's case, so many of the promises of God are so wonderful and yet so far-fetched in the light of the view of our circumstances that we rejoice in their possibility for a moment and then forget the reality of them. They seem too good to be true, and we lose them. See, we do. And we're willing, like Abraham, to settle for something less. Right? Now, what is it? Not his word we settle for, but our word. See? Oh, that Ishmael might live. Now, you can't find any promise of God. As I say, but it's wonderful, but it seems so far-fetched in view of the actual conditions. Now, you see, this is what I brought up last night. Here's where you got to say, I can have it. See? I can have it. I don't care if I'm 99 years of age and she's 90 years of age, I can have it. And I don't care if there's 10,000 miles between me and that thing, I can have it. And I don't care what anybody says about cancer and emphysema and palsy and this and that being fatal, I can have it. And I don't care about anybody saying that this can't be done, I can do it. See? So we want to be on guard because the prospect of God's goodness in the light of miserable conditions when presented to us by the Spirit, will give us that goal and the goal of faith. How many times we've been to a meeting where Brother Branham was, where he said the Spirit was breaking over the building and everybody got so excited, then 3 minutes later, boom, they all went out of the building just fine, didn't they? Was it not real that he was there to heal? Absolutely. Was that sudden spurge of faith, was that not real? Absolutely. But you see, if it happened to Abraham, and it did, it can happen to you and me. That's the time you got to be warned. See, because Abraham was fallible. Don't give way, oh, that Ishmael might live. Don't try to put your word instead of God. Don't try to put your will there. What has God said about it? Search it out. And you'll find that verse after verse with Abraham, your seed by Sarah, Your seed by Sarah. Your seed by Sarah. Encouraging him. Pounding on him. Exhorting him. Now, tonight we've got the very same thing as Abraham had. Now, all of us need help. There isn't any of us who doesn't need help, because that's the way God made us. Because if we didn't need help, then God couldn't do a thing for us. Salvation isn't too good for those who need salvation. The baptism with the Holy Ghost, that's being placed in the body of Christ, is not too good and not beyond the love of God, no matter what a person's like. Healing is not too good to be true. New jobs are not too good to be true. Provision is not too good to be true. The freedom from worry, peace, is not too good to be true. All of these things, not one thing in God's word is too good to be true. The fact is, it is true because it's good. And because it is good, it's got to be true. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above, and God is true to his word. I know that Abraham and Sarah were old. There's no doubt about it. But God had made a promise. And remember, the conditions don't have a thing to do with the promise, except that if there weren't conditions, there couldn't be a promise. But the conditions and the promise are separate. Let me show you that. Just like that clock is separate from that plant. See? And yet they're related by the fact they both hang upon a wall. So are the conditions of life and the promises of God. They both hang in you and me. But they're different as day from night and don't have a thing to do with each other except they're on a common merging ground, which is man. The problems are here on earth, but the power lies within a sovereign God. Do what he wants and he'll do it. See, but you and I, we take and try to make the wall and the plup and the little plant and the clock all one thing. You can't do it. And you can't say they're of the same source. They are not of the same source. They hang upon a common wall, and that's where it ends. And the promise and the conditions meet in man. But their sources are not the same. Because the promise is God himself. And the conditions are merely temporal things made by God running under a law of God. But the promises of God are God himself. And backed up by God, see? But they hang in man. And we have no right to look at conditions in the promise and then judge the promise by the conditions. Nothing to do with it. You can put them in your blender, your mix master. Makes it. You can put gold and silver, run them in the same fire, put them in the same kettle, put them right together, and the molecules of gold are not the molecules of silver. Never have been, never will be. So you can take the promises of God and the conditions of life and put us both in the mix master. And if you don't know what I'm talking about now, you'll just go through life confused. Or you can just look down your nose and say, so what? You don't belong. You're merely a squatter, and there ain't no thing as God allowing a squatter in heaven. Your squatter's rights are all but over. See? You attach yourself to the promise. Now, Lazarus was dead. Now, he was dead for 4 days. Now, Martha said, if thou hadst been here, in that case he had not died. But now that he's dead, and now that you're here, let's see some action. That's perfect. See? What does it mean? Promise and conditions met. What's got to go? Conditions got to go. You know something? You know something? They're eventually going to go. Wouldn't it be nice to know that we believe God enough to lick conditions here instead of waiting up there? Because you know what? When you're dead, every condition's done gone. And when the resurrection comes, you'll awaken a new place entirely. And there won't be one condition. So therefore, the promise has licked every condition, right? Huh? Do you believe in the resurrection? Then you believe in every condition being met right now. Because every condition goes. Every disease, every stroke of poverty, every bit of tough luck, everything goes. Everything adverse goes. Why? Because in heaven there is no sorrow. There's no mourning. There are no tears. There is nothing to contend with. See? Let me ask you a question. What went then? God or the conditions? The promises went on, but the conditions went. Because why? There's going to be a new condition, which is based in the promise itself. See? Follow me? All right. Here was old Lazarus dead for 4 days. So what? Had to be dead at 8 days. One of these days we're going to come out of a grave when some of their dear friends have been there for almost 2,000 years. Paul's going to rise up. after being down there close to 2,000 years. And if we're a true seed, we're going to see him when he comes out of the ground. Oh, he's going to shock some people. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be wonderful. That's right. They're going to walk the earth like they did in the days of Christ. There's no doubt that they walked the earth for 10 days. They were seen. Because when Jesus went back the first time and appeared minutes later, it was, he said, touch me not because I ascend. He ascended, we understand, with the blood. There's something in there I don't understand, but he ascended and came right back. But he didn't take the others with him because they were seen walking streets of Jerusalem. And they didn't even believe Jesus was raised again. How then could they believe those fellows were raised? They must have believed they're seeing an apparition. So Christ was raised and gone up and come down, and they walked the streets, I believe, for 10 days. They had to because he went up 10 days later, and he took them with him. Or he took them with him. How long are we going to see the dead here? Who knows? Who cares? I'm not going to worry about that, just to see the dead.
Amen.
Come out of the earth. See, when's God going to heal you? Who cares? Just bless God long as he's going to heal me. Under what condition? Who gives a hoot about that, too? You people give offerings. Wherever I go, people give me offerings. I don't worry who they come from. I don't care how they earn them. I'm not the least concerned. I thank them. I eat in the restaurant. I don't run back in the restaurant looking things over, although sometimes it might pay you to make sure you know what you're getting. I don't bother running back and worry about it. Just eat the food. Got a pretty strong stomach. At least up to this point I've had. You just apply the same thing to God in his word. What about conditions? It's a promise. Healing is not too good for us. It's ours. New jobs are not too good to be true. They are ours. Provision, anything we need. Sure, anything you can find to trace in the word of God that's yours, rejoice in it because you're supposed to rejoice. What else is there to rejoice in? It's the only thing that makes you rejoice. Laugh with joy, shout about it, and receive it. Don't suddenly let the old devil throw a shadow over you. See? That's what counts. Muir had to feed hundreds and no food. What'd he do? He laid out the tables, said grace, and pretty soon the trucks drove up, and y'all had plenty to eat. Not one word of God's word failed, not a jot nor a tittle. The cattle up on 1,000 hills are his, and that's how it works. The lady infirm for 18 years was bent over. The man at the pool was sick for 38 years. The man at the beautiful gate had trouble for 40 years. Another man had arthritis for 40 years, but God healed him. See? So the promise of God to Sarah and Abraham was based upon an impossibility. See? So are our promises. Impossible for us to solve them. So let God do it. Now I want you to notice here, brother, sister, that there are no circumstances around us that were meant to encourage us. That's one thing that's hard to learn. That's awful hard. Because we're looking for encouraging circumstances. You'll not find one place in the Word of God where God gave circumstances to encourage you. He gave promises, and the promises manifested encourage you because you got them. You find encouragement only one place, and that's in the Word. And the Scripture said, and I'll preach on it sometime, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the only way you can encourage yourself is by the Word of God, because that's all you know about God and His ways. See? Let me say again, there is no encouragement outside here in this world where the circumstances lie, nor indeed are they meant to be encouraging. The Word encourages you. You know what the Word says about conditions? It says the very conditions against you is an evident token of God working for you. Now, you look at conditions, you never believe that. You've got to go to the Word and say, okay, condition, let's shake hands, hallelujah. Now that I'm on good ground, we won't be too long here together, that's all. Just say, I'm going to be glad to see you go, but just don't feel bad about it. Just get going. See? God has spoken. He has a word for us, and he stands behind his word to perform it. Now, that's the thought here about Abraham saying, he laughed. Sarah's going to have a child? Oh, praise God. You see, then it went out. Then, you see, in unbelief, he got tricked. He got tricked by looking at himself. Because the promise didn't have a thing to do with his body. Promise has got only to do with God. Like I said, that clock, the promise, has nothing to do with that pattern or the condition. They're on the same wall. Not a thing. The promise is in God. The condition only gives God a chance to work. The condition is a way where your faith can be tried. See? And Abraham forgot them. He looked at his body from a hole. He said, can we this old bear a child? And then he said, oh, that Ishmael might live. See, God, look, Ishmael's already here. See? Now, Lord, why don't you just go ahead and let me work this out on the ground that we just let Ishmael be it. See? Having people prayed and said, now, Lord, you know I'm getting old, so I don't expect too much. Only, Lord, just let this one little thing. You know that kind of prayer did the Lord? Spoiled him. Lord, you know this one. Let me be the one of the city. God was going to do a whole new thing for that man. Take him away and put him in a brand new place now. Oh, he said, just I'm kind of scared. Let me go to a little city. This little tiny seed is not much. Let me have it. And God said, okay. Now, God won't do that with the real seed. He's going to hold you to that word. So he held Abraham to the word. But Abraham, you see, he was willing to just take something he had. Lord, just let this do, see. Lord, let me look halfway to the promise and get a pretty good thing out of it. See? Well, Lord, you bless me according to my word. Not going to get anywhere. And God said, no, sir. Now, see how wrong he prayed, see? He was praying wrong. He prayed apart from the word of God. He put his own word against God's word. See? And he put conditions against the promise. Never should have done it. Now, God wasn't mad. He just came right back and said, Abraham, look, I'm going to be good to Ishmael because you prayed for him. But he's not going to make it. I'm sorry. I don't want him. Now, isn't that a sad thing? He loved that boy. That was his own son. Now, make no mistake, it wasn't his neighbor's child. It was Abraham's child. Now, he didn't have any love affair with Hagar. That was a pretty sordid thing. But he loved the boy that came from the union. That was his child. And he said, now, Lord, let this live. You see what that's coming through in the ecumenical day here? They're not going to leave organization. Or they've got little Ishmaels around the country. They've been fornicating down there. Oh, yes, they have been. Because organization is fornication. Spiritual fornication is organization. According to the prophet, that's what the Bible teaches too. And they raised their bastard children. And they loved them. And they're not going to leave organization, no. And they're going to pray, oh, that Ishmael might live. We don't have that kind of prayer. Woe to Ishmael, let him go. We were wrong in that setup. See? Now we can't pray against them. We pray for them. God, is there some way to be helped? And he said, yes, a lot of them, sleeping virgin, they're going to come out when it's too late. They'll miss it. They'll die. But they'll make the second resurrection, see? So he was saying, here now, Lord, I want you to take this and secure it for me. Let me let my word stand this time. And God said, no. He insisted on prayer according to his word. See? Now, from now on then, we find that God's covenant is based in himself. See? The type being Isaac. And he had to come according to word. See? Isaac came according to the word, but Ishmael didn't. Now tonight, if we've got anything that's in our lives that's not according to word, chuck it. Because it won't stand the test. You often wonder about the tent that Brother Branham saw. People coming through that little cubby hole thing, you know, so perfect. They said, well, will everybody go through that line? He said, no. Well, who will go through the line, through that little tent? Those who have the word test. They fail in the word, they can't go through. Well, you know that's not a tent, that's a type. It's a symbol. And they failed the word test. Brother Bannon went right back to that word, and they said, no. They weren't interested. They said, don't let him be a word prophet. They wouldn't take it. See, there's where man has always failed. God, let my word stand. Give me the promise according to the need as I see it. See? I'll work it out. Now, where do we find in the Word of God sermons on the air, radio? I'm not against it, but The methodology we use today is always based upon a program. See? God's not in his program. It's got to be according to his word. Now, if it's born of the word, then it's going to survive. Now, listen, get this. I want to show you how strange people read. They don't even read their Bibles. I didn't read mine for years either, so don't worry. I'm not talking about you. If I can find this verse, I'll read it. If I can't find it, I've got my concordance. I'm sort of stuck. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible sperm or seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides there. Now, the way we read it is this. We say, Peter's saying, all right, you've been born of corruptible seed. Now get born again of incorruptible. It doesn't read that way. It says there's a rebirth for everybody. But you can be reborn either of corruptible seed or of incorruptible. That's what it says. Well, come on, read it. Doesn't say what you thought it said. It says what it said. See? Everybody gets born again that's religious. Either you get born of corruptible seed or incorruptible. What is the incorruptible seed? It's the Word of God. Anything that's not the Word of God is corruptible seed. And you'll die with it. Now, the same thing is what we've got with Abraham. What was his second prayer based on? The incorruptible or the corruptible? It was based on the corruptible. Let Ishmael live. God, do it my way. Lord, preserve this. Breathe on what I'm giving you. See? No. You know what? The son that was born to him, Isaac, did the very same thing with his own children. He loved Esau. Esau was born of the corruptible. Because when he had the chance for the birthright, he said, what's to this word of God anyway in this birthright? Forget it. Jacob took it. He endangered his life to get it. He sold out to God. And Isaac tried to preserve Esau. When he found out it was Jacob he blessed, he knew it was God. He'd done the wrong thing. He said, yea, and he shall be blessed. He was running just like his daddy. But when Jesus came on earth, it was nothing but word, 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 word. And when Paul came on the earth, it was word, 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 word. Let him be accursed if that word's changed. When William Branham came, he had only one message because it was the end time message. Word, 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 he that taketh shall be blotted out, and he that addeth shall be freed. And there was only one group to hear that message, and that's the message that the group that precedes the great tribulation, because only in the tribulation can the plague be poured out. God doesn't raise the dead and then pour plagues on them. It's word, word, word. Are you born tonight by the word of God? And you pray by the word of God? You live by the word of God? Or are you born a corruptible seed? Or are you against the word of God? Here it is. There it is. It's that simple. Oh, Ishmael might live. No, Ishmael's corruptible. Ishmael came by man. See? What are these men going to do in this age who have trusted men? Gone around raising sums of money. Built their program. What are they going to do? What's the man who's raising $70 million in 10 years for university? What's it going to be? That's not the word of God, and you know it, and he knows it. He had the audacity to say to Brother Branham, why are you teaching these things? He said, let the pastor do it. He said, the pastors don't teach it. That's why I teach it. He said, you're ruining your ministry. He said, any man's ministry can be ruined by the word of God. Better be ruined. What about the other man? He said if he didn't have oil and blood, he wouldn't make the bride. But now the oil and the blood petered out, so now what is it? But the word tells you who's in the bride. Those born of the incorruptible word of God. The corruptible word is the sperm of man. The life of man. Man lives by his own word. But a Christian lives by the word of God. See? So my, what a lesson we've learned tonight in prayer. You'd be surprised what you see if you just look. But it was all there. I never took from it, didn't add to it. But take heart tonight. Certainly conditions look bad, but God's got a promise. And when that Spirit of God witnesses, just hold on and don't budge. Just say, condition, you're not related. You know, we're like some people. There's a joke told about it that how we did let people in their houses. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, my wife's aunt, Uncle Willie, he said, drove me crazy. Just sit by the television set, drink my beer and smoke my cigarettes and do so-and-so. And he said, you know what, one day? I said, look, he said, if you don't tell your Uncle Willie to leave my beer alone and my cigarettes and quit mocking me, I'll keep up. He said, my Uncle Willie, I thought he was your Uncle Willie. You know, even the jokes of the world, everything you look at, point up to your last day. And even show, and it even illuminates scripture at times, but it's the truth. Here, the conditions and promise are not related. See? The promise gets rid of it. Don't look at that condition. He's not your uncle. He's not your sweetheart. Not your friend. Christ, the Word, is your friend. Don't acknowledge the condition and ignore the life giver. Ignore the condition. Abraham considered not his body now dead. Took him a while to do it. No longer the issue. Never mind what you guys got to say. I'm getting more and more convinced of this. See, all you got to do is start working in it. Work at it a little bit. Honor God a little bit. And show him you're sincere. He'll work it out. We don't need to lack. There's something moving in the mulberry bushes. See? One of these days, the devil's going to be cast down. Brother Branham taught it. It's on the tape. One of the tapes a year ago this summer, when he came back, he positively taught that the 12th chapter took place between the resurrection and the rapture. And that's exactly what God showed me. I forgot he said it, but there it was. Michael the archangel cast down. Just before the devil becomes incarnate flesh, they're going to be cast down here in the earth, and we're going to go through the mill. That's when the bride stops preaching. All pressure comes on us. But don't let it bother you. We're like the bride in the Song of Solomon. She heard his voice, and she followed. They abused her, and they did all kinds of mean, rotten things to her, but she'd heard her voice, his voice, and all she'd do is follow that voice. She couldn't see him, but sudden one day she met him. It was all over. See? You're not born of corruptible sperm today. Give him the word, Dad. Oh, my, isn't it nice to see the prophet brought out? Yeah, just a little talk about it and give a few illustrations, it just becomes that much more real. That's how we're in the message and know we're in the message. We don't argue about this little point, that little point. We don't have conflict. My, no, there's no conflict. Don't let Scripture fight Scripture. It is also written. See where it goes, see? Well, praise the Lord. Well, we got you out early tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll continue our little studies here just along these lines. Little things come out. Some little nugget to help you. But remember the great thought tonight. The condition and the promise are not related. They are merely like two things hanging on a common wall. So don't let the condition ever say, I got you, you belong to me. Because that's a lie. Because that's exactly what Paul said would happen to you. He said, height and depth and death and nakedness, sword and peril, and come in and say, you're mine, I got you. And he said, that's a lie, because it can't separate you from God. Because if it's got you, you're separated from God. Not even death can separate you from God. And the word says, you're mine. Now, if you're born of the right thing, which is the word, you'll say, hallelujah, I'm glad I belong to him. Condition? I'm not yours. I'm his, and he is mine. And as I showed you, keep in your mind the truth. I've told you the truth, because when you die and rise again, where's the condition? But where is Jesus? They that die in the Lord, right, are the blessed ones. From henceforth, they cease from labors. Hallelujah. See? Told you. I proved every point I taught you. I'm left on one thing. It's all covered. Now you got every ground to believe tonight and say, devil, I've had enough of you, like Brother Branham taught you. Say, leave me alone. Get out. You're defeated in the name of Jesus. I won't have a thing to do with you. So don't even come around talking to me. See, quote that word. Hit it back. See? Certainly. Amen. Let's rise. Tell me, lady got healed last night just sitting here. That's where I like to see him healed. Hear the word of God, believe it. He answers according to me. Whatever your trouble is, you got a bad back like she had. Headaches, malaria. I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter. God's a healer. Father, we thank you again for your word. The word of God, which is our life. Amen. Which is our life. Hallelujah. Because the words that you speak are spirit and life. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, tonight for giving us the word, and we have received of you, and it's encouraged our hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We praise thee, O God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. It is glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. Hallelujah. It is glory all the way. And I shall see him face to face. Hallelujah. And it's all by grace. Praise the name of the Lord. We worship tonight, Lord. And thank you, my God, for the living word. We thank you for the prophet, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we come together, the word the prophet taught. It just dovetails because it is the word and becomes clear, oh God. Hallelujah. Tonight, by faith, we see the stalks of grain hanging over there so heavy. And, oh God, except you bring the thrashing machine, they fall to the ground, but they're not going to fall to the ground because the thrashing machine's going to come and lift up those heads. Hallelujah. Take them off the stalk. But even ere this happens, Lord God, there's going to be the dead in Christ rise up. Those grains that did fall in the ground are going to come back, hallelujah, and we're going to see them and love them. And then, Lord, there's going to be such a desire to see you that, Lord God, we just won't want to breathe anymore. We won't want to talk. We want to do anything. We just want to meet you, Lord. Oh, what a change, hallelujah. Ah, bless God, Lord. The world doesn't know this, and organized religion doesn't know it. And like we may sound a little smug tonight, Lord, but we know it. Hallelujah. But, Lord, it's a little secret between the bride and the groom. Hallelujah. The affianced, hallelujah. The betrothed, hallelujah. But, oh, God, tonight we thank you. Betrothal is the same as wedding with you. Or not one of these modern 20th century that go around promising and then ditch the girls, Lord. No, sir. We've got a God who said, I love you in your mind. In fact, we're already married to you, Lord, in spirit. And pretty soon we're going to sit down at that great wedding supper, hallelujah. So, Father, thank you tonight. Let your people know, Lord, tonight, and we just pray that, and rebuke the devil that he's not going to be able to come between us anymore and make those conditions look like they're related to promise. Never again. No, sir. And there's not going to be any old voice in the saying, let Ishmael live. No, sir. No, sir. There's no more of that. This is for real. This is for keeps. And so, Lord, tonight, we thank you for lessons learned. And now, Satan, we come against you by the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost in us. Satan, we command you to leave us, and you're not going to take away the thoughts we learned tonight. I command you to leave us. I charge you in Jesus' name. Leave us. Leave us. You out. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we turn to you within us. O thou Christ in us, thou Holy Ghost in us, thou blessed Spirit of God, you've done this. It is your work, Lord, to bring all things to our remembrance. Amen. It's your job, Lord, and we look to you now. You within us, Lord, to renew us. So that we who are born of the incorruptible word may now grow by it. For man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. Now, Lord, we expect growth tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eagle, rise up within us. Hallelujah. For this same spirit in the prophets which was in Christ is soon going to lift us unto realms of glory. Now, Father, bless each one. We sanctify them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pronounce a blessing upon them. And we think, Lord, of those men who would dare to raise their fingers like a V for victory sign, make the little funny movements and bless the folk. We know it's nothing. But tonight, Lord, we know it's different here. Because when I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, it's real because the word has already gone forth. And we are confirming the blessing they already received. Because Satan can't take it. They are blessed and they shall remain blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there shall be a new depth of reality. Right down the line, and a rejoicing in our Savior from this time on as we have not known previously. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it, Lord. That's the way it's got to be, because the way of the righteous groweth more and more to the perfect day, brighter. Hallelujah. And learning is line upon line, precept upon precept, till we come to the fullness of the stature of that man in Christ, Christ-fulness. So, Lord, hallelujah. It's real. That's what you said. That's the way it is. Thank you, Jesus. In thy name we pray and praise. Thine is the glory. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.